All right, let's have all the quiet. Come on, get the quiet wall. We'll start the service in about 2 minutes.
Take your hymnals right there in the chair in front of you, number 431, song we like to sing around here. Praise 431. We invite you to stand and join us as we sing. 431. Let's have a big ending on the song. On the third verse, when poor and needy together.
When poor and needy.
I like it so good, I think we'll sing that last verse again. Aren't you glad to be saved and know the Lord? One of these days we'll get out of all this mess around here, and we'll be with the Lord Jesus for all eternity. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. Brother Tim, let's sing the third verse again and sing out on that chorus.
All right, here we go.
Touch it. Amen. But rescued is what it's all about. And I'm glad God snatched my feet out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And only He can do that. We're so glad to have you in the service tonight. Now we've got some business. McKenna's family is here. I'm not going to try to remember the names. After the choir comes down, I'm going to let Stephanie introduce her family for baptizing McKenna at the end of the service. And then we're having fellowship after that. And so we're glad we'll recognize all the other visitors here in just a few moments. So let's go to the Lord in prayer ask God's blessing upon the service, and then after we're through, the congregation can be seated, and the choir, where I think it's John Powell, will sing a song, right? So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we sure love you tonight, and thank you for a wonderful Lord's Day. This morning was a joy to mine and Jesus' heart, as the church was so kind to just show appreciation for the pastor and his wife, and we're so grateful, Lord. We're so unworthy. We don't deserve any accolades or anything like that, Lord. It's all about you. Lord, we wouldn't be here without you. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without you. And so, Lord, I hope and pray that in our life we'll always point people to Jesus Christ. Thank you for everyone that's here tonight, Lord, for the service. We're looking forward to hearing Brother Eirik in just a little while. Glad to have the folks here visiting, of course, McKenna's family for her baptism tonight. And, Lord, then the fellowship later. We're grateful for the opportunity just to get together with God's people in God's place and enjoy God's presence. And so we pray that you'll bless the choir as they sing again and all that's done tonight to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Say amen to that. God is good. Say amen. Well, a few of you, okay? It's good, too. That's good. Well, Pastor's already said we're going to meet our visitors in just a few moments, but we're going to give the choir a chance to come down. So let's all stand, and we're going to have a little handshake and time of fellowship. so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and thank you this evening, and for being here in the service tonight. We're so glad to have you. And, of course, we've got a lot going on. This morning we had Pastor Appreciation Sunday, and again, thank you to all the gifts. I got home and was able to read the cards and all of that, and I so appreciate everything you did for Judy and I, and we do not deserve it, but we're sure grateful for your kindness and your love for us, and we love you, and we're going to serve the Lord together in the days to come, and so we're looking forward to that. Let me just mention a couple of things real quickly. First of all, Steph, how about you stand up and introduce all your family, because I don't remember everybody's name. There's some over here, and the friends of the family over here. So, all right. Yeah, that's okay. And all right, very good. We're glad to have these folks here with us who will watch McKenna get baptized in just a little while. Then we're glad to have Brother Dirk Eirik and his family and entourage that way. Young lady, tell me your name again. Samantha. She's a student at Bob Jones, but her father is the pastor of the church in the Bahamas where the Irish are going to start their mission work there. And so she came with them from up in Greenville. Of course, this is Dirk Eirik and his wife. And Miss Eirik has been to many of our ladies' meetings over the years. And so that's how we know the family. And they decided here recently that God was calling them to the mission field to go to the Bahamas. And so we had scheduled this some time ago, and so we're glad to have them here with us tonight. We look forward to hearing from him. He's got a little 5-minute video. He's going to tell a little bit about how they came to go to the mission field. And I don't mean this in the wrong way, but relatively late in life, I'll say it that way, you know. A lot of times young people are called to mission work early. They go to school. Of course, they've done all of that. They're going on the field. In other words, God, age does not matter to the Lord. Amen. God can do it. You remember Caleb in the Bible? When he took that mountain, the Bible said he was 80 years old, but his natural strength was not abated, meaning that he was just like a 20-year-old, and he whooped them giants on that mountain. Same thing with Moses. Moses was 100 years old, and the Bible said when God took him to heaven, the Bible said that his natural strength, I mean, Moses was in perfect health. He just disobeyed the Lord and wound up not going into the promised land. But anyhow, I'm looking forward to hearing from these folks, and I'm so glad that they came. We still have cars coming in, Brother Joaquin. I'm going to keep an eye on everybody, get it in here all right if you can. And I want to mention one thing myself real quickly. Well, number one, of course, we mentioned this morning about Shirley Hughes, who passed away Friday. The funeral is Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock at Tabernacle in Greenville. And so I hope you can go if you can. Now, we're not taking a van. We're just, you know, several people. We're going to go up. Judy and I are going up there. Then we're going to go by and see Brother Jimmy Rose and Nancy Rose after the service. We haven't seen Judy hasn't seen him since he's been sick, but I was there with Brother Brian Gurley last year to see him. And I want to go by and see them. But if you'd like to go, the service is at 11. It's about a 2-hour drive from here. You'll want to get there a few minutes early. They talk like the crowd's going to be very large. Brother Richard has been so good to what we've had him here. Brother Richard's an evangelist, and so pray for him with his wife now in heaven. But that'll be Tuesday. And then our track challenge. We only have 2 months left, and our goal is 12,000, and we're 4,000, at least this is of this morning. I don't know if you got more count, Felton, but 4,084 short. All right, so that means, and remember, we didn't start till February, so we're making up for January, too. But here's how we're going to make this up easily. Number one, what I say? Is it? Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Well, there you go. See how quickly you can get off the housing track? Like, don't even have to try. Just mess up, and boy, they're out there. Boom. 3,084. Well, that's even better. But here's what we're going to do next Saturday. This is for anyone that wants to go with us, but I encourage the young people to go. Next Saturday, South Carolina has a home, not next Saturday, Saturday week. I'm sorry, the 17th. Gamecocks have a home football game with, who is it? Chattanooga, the Choo-Choos. And so anyway, when Georgia came through, we went that day and gave out over 1,000 tracks in less than 15 minutes. And so what we'd like to do is get enough people to have 10 groups of two, 10 teams of two. It can be husband and wife. It can be children. It can be more than two, of course, if you want to take your children. Anyway, what we'd like to do is spread out around the place where they do the tailgating. Is that what that is? And give out the trash. Each team will have 200 tracts. And so that's, if we all get them all out, that's 2,000 tracts in 15, I'm telling you, could have gave out a lot more. We just ran out. Within 30 minutes, easily could give out 3,000, 4,000, even 5,000 tracts. Our goal that day is to give out 2,000 gospel tracts, put them in their hand. And so I'd love for you to go if you can. Of course, there's bands there. I mean, it's a lot of excitement. I don't know. Now, when George was here, it was really a big deal. I don't know about Chattanooga. I don't know how big that'll be or not big, but be big enough to get tracts out with the fans that show up. And so we'd like to have, hope you'll think about it. If we can, that means we need at least 20 people. That's 10 teams of two. We can, again, if we have more, we can split up into threes. But literally, you can stand in one spot within probably a 100-foot radius of where you're standing and probably give out all of your tracts. And so if we do that, and then on December the 1st, they have a makeup game at home from when the hurricane came through. And so literally, we can surpass our goal. Now, I hope we can do it before then. But if we give out 2,000 tracts, that'll leave us a little over 1,000 shy. Now, I want to encourage you, our people, to get tracts. I mean, listen, just get 10 tracts. 10. You can give out 10. If we get 50 people to give out 10 tracts this week alone, that's 500. And that's what a sixth of our goal. But we want to hit 12,000 by the end of December. And I'm talking about 12,000 gospel tracts put into somebody's hand, laid on a counter, and which is fine too. I don't misunderstand. Anywhere you could sow the seed of the gospel is good. We want to make sure this year that we put them in somebody's hand throughout the year. And so we've got November and December yet to go. And so let's work hard and reach that goal before Christmas. Love by Christmas time to say we've met the goal. Then we'll set a new goal for next year. We'll do it again. We're going to do things a little differently next year. And to give out more tracts, I'd like to double. It'd be great if next year we could give out 24,000 gospel tracts. I said, my gracious, that's a lot. Well, believe it or not, it can be done. Now, Joaquin's back there poochie lit because he's got to stamp all them things. He takes care of our tracts. But we'll give him plenty of notice so that he can get started like tomorrow, Joaquin. Go ahead and get started. And but anyway, just keep that in mind, if you would. I did want to mention Brother Ed Coker's been out. This week he's got real bad bronchitis and upper respiratory infection, and he doesn't miss unless he just really is sick. And so pray for Brother Ed. Miss Ramona Huddleston the same way. I have not heard from Claudette Shad. She wasn't here today, and I don't know with Charlene and them. Yeah, okay. We'll check on her, but I haven't heard from her. Didn't see her today. So anyway, just remember all of these folks in prayer, if you would. Okay, come on, Brian.
We'll be back here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for any of you visitors that maybe haven't been here before and don't know our normal schedule. Wednesday, Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. We hope to have a good crowd there. And this Saturday is the WTBI Carathon up at Tabernacle in Greenville, where he was just talking about. We're on the radio at 11:30, all choir, and we'll be on till 20 o'clock. So we'll be leaving the church at 9 o'clock. The folks who all are riding in the van or choosing to meet us here and following the van up there, they'll be leaving at 9 o'clock. You know how to use your Google Maps and your Waze apps and all that, and we'll get you an address, and you can leave from your own house if you want, to make sure that we're there by around 11 so we can get situated. We'll go on the air at 11:30. We're looking forward to that. For you members of the choir, the church will provide your lunch after we finish our segment on the radio. So it's going to be a fun day in the Lord, and we'll be back here, of course, next Sunday morning for prayer at 9 o'clock, Sunday school at 9:30, and preaching at 10:30. All right.
All right, and right after the service, I need to meet with the people that are in the drama for Christmas, and that will include Chad, just told him. Let me see, Judy, if you got a minute, and Brian and Bethany, or at least one of you, and then Rick and Haley, and there's somebody else, and I'll catch you after the service. All right, 311, grab your hymnals, let's stand and sing, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, number 311. Ready to sing now on the first word together.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
is piling for rest. All right, watch the conductor when the train leaves, and we'll all will not have a train wreck again. So we're going to sing right through that. Okay, on the second verse, got to give us some time to redeem ourselves. Okay, no pun intended. Here we go. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know. Now we're going to do it the independent Baptist way. You know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So we're going to sing that chorus again. And this time, we're not going to sing it. Now, Brother Tim, we love Brother Tim. He does a good job. But there's a few songs that, you know, he just got to get kind of caught up on a little bit. And so let's do that chorus one more time. We get to the second redeeming. Let's do it the other way. Okay? All right. Thank you.
Here we go.
I think that's the Presbyterian way right there. I'm not sure. All right. Thank you. Be seated. God bless you. Let's have the ushers to come on ahead. We'll take care of our offering this evening. And then Brother Tim will come and introduce the special. All right. So we want to give plenty of time to Brother Eirik to share the ministry and then have time for baptism. And then at the end of the service, we'll have our fellowship. We want everybody to stay. If you're visiting, please stay for the fellowship. We'd love to have you join us. And we're glad to have this young couple back here. Cody Spears, my goodness. I don't know why I didn't notice when he first come in, Cody and his wife, Mrs. Spears, right? And some of you remember Barry Spears. Brother Barry was saved while we were over at the other church, and now he pastors out in Lugoff at Sunrise Baptist Church. And this is his son, Cody. He and Andrew were buddies growing up. And you've got a few children now, don't you, Cody? Just one? Oh, okay. All right, he kind of acted like, don't know, just one. And we're glad to have you, buddy. God bless you. I appreciate you being here. Does your dad know you're here? Not yet. Okay. Woo-hoo. All right. Well, that's why I just don't want to get no trouble with no preacher nowhere. I got enough trouble without being hit up. But Cody, we're glad. I'm so glad to see you here. God bless you. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we ask you to bless the offering tonight, the gift and the giver. We're so excited to take part in giving the Lord's work. So, Lord, I pray that we'll do it cheerfully. The Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. May we give it unto the Lord, whether it's tithe or offering or maybe something special. Someone at the end of the service will take a special love offering for Brother Eirik and his family for being here. And certainly, God, we ask you to bless in an unusual way. If you can take two fish and five loaves and feed 5,000, Lord, you can take a few dollars and stretch it out where everybody's need can be met. And so we're thankful for that. Glad we have a mighty God that could do such as that. Now, God bless the offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
months ago, we had a young lady,
yes, she's done,
came and visited our church and sat down in the front. Anytime somebody does that, a visitor does that, you know they're serious. And Stephanie has jumped right in. She's joined the choir. She gave me another soprano voice. And we're glad to have Stephanie Files with us. She's going to sing tonight before our speaker.
I'm not the next American Idol, guys, but God gave me a voice, and I'm going to use it to glorify Him.
About the rapture coming, could come tonight, could be before midnight. I'll tell you, whatever it is, I'm ready to go. Praise God. Yes, sir. Well, we're glad to have Brother Dirk Irish and his family. Now, they've got a little 5-minute video he's going to show, I guess, first, and then he'll have the service to tell us a little bit about his calling to the mission field in the Bahamas. And so, Brother Dirk, you come on ahead. We're glad to have you, and you service is yours, and you just do make sure you turn your little button on there.
Come on up here.
We're glad to have you, brother. God bless you.
Good night, everybody. In the Bahamas, I learned when people get up in the podium or the pulpit, they'll say good night, and what they're saying is good evening. So the first time I heard good night, I was ready to close my Bible and say, wow, that was the fastest service he's been in. So it's really unique and interesting, but they do.
I learned to open up a young lady and introduce my beautiful wife, Lori. She's still a young lady. My two sons, one went out and used the restroom, I believe. Lawson's 11. Raise your hand, Lawson. The other one, his name's Boyce. He's a little bit younger, you'll tell, because he's smaller. His name's Boyce. He's 8. Well, of course, my wife, Lori, who's very fond of this church, and I see why now. And Samantha carries with us. That's Pastor Carey's daughter, and she's the one who will get up and say goodnight if she sings. She's not singing tonight, but I do like that. We're going to play a 5-minute video and show you a little bit about the Bahamas. Go ahead and play that.
In the spring of 2009, the Lord led our family to Bible Baptist Church in Simpsonville, South Carolina, with the focus of being involved in the bus ministry. While serving in the bus ministry at Bible Baptist, we were able to meet a young couple attending our local Christian college. After serving several years together through the bus ministry, the Lord knit our hearts together. Not knowing at the time what our God had in store for us, fields was being set before us. A few short years later, we received an invitation to the young couple's wedding. With high anticipations of an island of steam paradise, God provided us a life-changing trip to the Bahamas. In order to stay close to the wedding party and family, we decided to lodge in the local community instead of a tourist area. This is when and where the Lord showed us the great need for a bus ministry. The Bahamas is made up of over 700 islands, with Nassau being the capital. The island of Nassau is approximately 21 miles long and 7 miles wide. It has a population of just under 400,000 people. Islands themselves are deeply rooted in religion and tradition. Surprisingly, the government allows the churches to preach the gospel in the public schools, but sadly, this is not being taken advantage of. These children are not being successfully reached by the surrounding churches. Our hearts are burdened for the thousands of children wandering the streets. Would you please join us in prayer as we partner with Victory Baptist Church in Nassau to provide thriving bus ministry, a youth program, local outreach, and taking the gospel into the local schools.
Oh,
thing, I've watched that video a lot, and every time I, especially at a church, I want to stop and tell you about each of those pictures. Me and my wife and children took those pictures, what an honor to meet people and seeing the sea life change. Not lost where I was going to be. If you had your Bibles, you would turn to Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, if you had your Bibles. As you saw, the Bahamas is a very nice place. But as in the States here, Thomas has not so nice places. We have the same things here, which I realize. And most what Bahamas, Bahamians, and the government want you to see is the nice area. They don't want you to see the true side. They don't want you to see what is really in depth in there. And in fact, I've talked to people coming off the cruise ship just being down there, walking to a beach. And hey, man, you can find a better spot if you walk two streets this way. Oh, no. They told us not to go any further than this street. It scared the tourists into going in to see what it really is like. Why, I'm not 100% sure. It could be dangerous. I've never been mugged. Me and my wife walk a lot. We've never been robbed. My children have never been taken from me. I'm sure things like that happen. I'm sure you have to be careful. We've never experienced that, so I don't think the government really wants you to see it. They steer you clear to not go into too deep into the Bahama land of the island of Nassau. Hebrews 11, verse 6, if you'll please stand as we read the Word of God here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thanks for this evening. Lord, speak through me tonight, Lord. I can't do it, Lord. Lord, give this church, Lord, that's on our hearts as a family, Lord, the islands need, Lord. Lord, again, speak through me, Lord. And you're the right words to use, Lord. We'll give you all the honor and glory tonight, Lord. Thank you again for this wonderful church and the people that are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to look at this verse. This is the chapter, the Hall of Faith, which is known as. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." This last part I want to focus on with you and share with you a little something different out of the Bible tonight. "And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now the word "seek" is very unique here. Seek Him. I can sit here and ask you, how many of you tonight are seeking God? Honestly, seeking God, it's a lifelong journey. Sometimes we get sidetracked and seeking other things. It easily happens to me at times, but what are we actually seeking? Seeking actually is listed, the word "seek" is listed 244 times in the King James Bible. It's 244 times important enough to say. How many of you want to please God? You need to seek God. Now, he doesn't say there's a blessing here, which there are blessings to be saved. There's blessings to follow God. There's blessings to seek Him. He says He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What reward? Well, sometimes in my children, when I say reward, they think of money. I don't think God's talking of money here. I think those things come along with rewards. Those come along with blessings. But I don't think this is what God is talking about. So I'm going to share with you tonight the testimony of myself and my family, how God has called us into the Bahamas, why He's called us into the Bahamas, and what He's going to have my family doing down there. And this verse, boy, it really stood out a few years ago, and I just stayed on it, and I chewed on it. And when you get a verse, I want to encourage you, chew on that verse, especially when God changes your life through that verse. Chew on it. Don't just let that one part, because the first part is what changed me. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And I chewed on that for a long time. And then I started looking at the other parts of the verse. And I realized there's more to this. And usually there's always more to it. There's not usually, but there's always more to it. So I'd like to share with you my testimony tonight. God's calling on my life and my family. And what God has laid on our hearts. I tell you, the first time I remember going to church, I was about 3 years old. A man had come to our house and he invited us to a church, but he invited us in a unique, different way. He got my mom pulled aside and gave us some candy. So we were over here working on getting the candy open. This is back in the early 70s where the candy, they set it in the car and just the wrappers melted the candy. And we'd sit there and he'd finally get so tired, he just ate the wrapper and the candy too. But anyway, the gentleman had talked my mom into letting me and my three sisters come to church. Now we were 2, 3, and 6. 3 and 6, yeah. 2, 3, and 6. And he got us on the bus, which I found out that was a big day as being in the bus ministry. Big days when you go out and you try to get all the kids you can on the bus, because we're going to Pizza Hut or McDonald's to do something. That day we were going to McDonald's. It was a big day. But I remember going to church. I remember going to children's church. I remember them talking about some things. I remember them giving out some big prizes. I just remember that day. But I also remember after that, my parents started coming to church. And it's because the bus came out there and got us to come. And my parents won the church. And we were involved in the church. And a few years later, we were members of the church, coming all the time faithfully. My parents even won an award, and they still have the plaque. It's Amazing Grace. It's the hymn of it on the wall, and they still have it in their kitchen. I don't know if you've ever seen that. My wife might have seen it. But anyway, for the next year, 8 years in my life, we were involved in church. My parents enrolled us in Christian school, and they set a foundation for me and my sisters that would never die. In 1982, moved to Greenville, South Carolina, through a series. My dad worked for McDonald's, so I moved all over the Southeast. So we stayed in church. In 1982, my dad got out of McDonald's. He bought his own restaurant. We moved to Greenville, South Carolina. But my parents changed some things. They couldn't afford for us to go to private or Christian school anymore, so they sent us to public school, which was okay because we had a good foundation. But we went to church, not like we used to. My parents were interested in working. He had to. He wanted to provide for us. He put God first, put him to the side, and therefore I put him to the side. And at the age of 12, I started seeking different things. Seeking. We'll focus on this word seeking. And until I was 24, I sought the world and what the world had for me. And young kids and young adults, if you haven't given your life to Christ and sitting here tonight, and adults that are not young, don't wait. Don't leave here tonight. I sat from 12 and I knew better all until I was 24 and I wasted years. So here we go. At the age of 24, I was riding down the road and I asked the Lord to save me. People probably thought I was crazy. I was listening to a radio station and the man was preaching. And he said, well, you know, all you have to do is think about Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? He said all. He said, put your name there. You got a point. I'm part of all. I know I've done that. I'm too old, to go home and say, Mom, I stayed out all last night because I wasn't staying at home. I did this, I did that. My parents cared, but at that 7 miles sorry anymore. I wasn't under their house. I wasn't under their rules. I had somebody else to ask forgiveness for, and it was Heavenly Father. And as I was riding down the road, I realized, man, I'm lost. I don't have a clue. See, for the last 3 months here, I've been trying to do good. I've been throwing out my coat on the puddle for the old lady crossing the street. Excuse me, and I've been pulling out my handkerchief for anybody needing just to wipe the nose. And I quit stealing, quit doing some things. I was a changed person. I was even going to church. I got up. I was changed. I turned a leaf. Something was still missing. And as I was driving down the road that day, this man was preaching. What was missing was I never asked Jesus to forgive me. I never asked Christ to come into my heart. I never accepted responsibility for the actions of all my responsibilities. I never said, I did this, and I'm willing to pay for what I did. Because I was like, I did it, but I surely wouldn't go to jail. But at that point in time, I was willing to pay the price for forgiveness from God. And when I bowed my head the best I could riding down the road, and when I did that, of course, I had to watch the road. I remember where I was. Tears were coming down my face. I was talking back to the radio. He was asking questions. I was answering them. If you were in a car near me, you thought I was crazy. But it just got bright. It was in the afternoon, but it was something, I'll tell you what, something I'll never forget. I gave my life to Christ that day. It was about 5:30 in the afternoon. I pulled into work. This man had been praying for me. He'd been working with me. He came in. He said, man, there's something different about you. I said, sure, man, I got saved. He started shouting. And he went to a Pentecostal Holiness church where they shout. And he was running around my warehouse screaming. But he knew I got saved, and he'd been praying for me. He was happy. And God started working in my life. So if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 7, I'll share with you in there. Matthew chapter 7, it talks a little bit about seeking. Matthew 7 and verse 7 says, ask and it should be given you. Well, what are you asking for? It's a good question. I just told you, and for salvation, what God asks you. You have to ask God to save you before you can ask anything else of God. God's not going to give you anything else. I believe He was directing me that last year up until my salvation. He pulled me out of a life of sin. I would have been in jail or dead had I not walked away from it. It was God pulling me away. But at that point in time, I couldn't say, God, I need your help in this. He's already given me His help, but He wanted me to ask Him for forgiveness. That's what I had to ask Him first for. So what are you asking God? You got to ask forgiveness of your sins first. You got to ask Christ to come to your heart. You have to realize you're a sinner before you can ask. Once you ask Christ into your heart and believe He died on the cross for your sins, you can be saved. Then the things start to happen. Then things start to change. At the age of 24, I accepted Christ. Here's something else. I thought I knew everything. For 9 years, I lay dormant. I remember specifically at the end of this radio program, the gentleman said, if you just pray that prayer, I'd love to hear from you. Wrong side of the call of the letter. Oh, man, I was raised right. I know what I'm doing. Hey, if you don't light up the call, and get involved in a church, in your local church, and attend. I'll be all right. And I did. Every now and then, I would go again. I was back on the same path. I was saved, but I was still wanting to do it my way. God didn't want it my way. So what I had to do was nothing. I had to get my attention. For 9 years, I lay dormant. 9 years, nothing of a Christian life. And I saw people walking in happy. I want what they have. I want what they have. What are they doing that I'm not? They were going to church faithfully. They were living for the Lord faithfully. They were putting God first in their life. Oh, sat down in a restaurant one afternoon with a guy. 9 years later, and I'm 33 years old now. 33. I've wasted 9 years of my Christian life. Nothing. I have to answer to that. Young adults, young kids, listen, you get saved, start serving God now. I have 9 years. We're all going to stand before God, and I've got to stand before God and account for those 9 years that I wasted. I'm scared of that, because I led a lot of people down the wrong road. I wasn't doing what I should have done. Think about that. 9 years. But guess what? If you go back to chapter 6 here, in verse 33, it says, but seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. How many times have you heard the preacher say, read your Bible every day? It's right here. I was saved. I heard, read your Bible every day. But I was doing it my way. And then I started seeking. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wow. You want God's abundant life? He said, I'll give it to you more abundantly. This is what I'm going to tell you, because this happened to me, and I want to share with you what God did in my life. Sat down at that restaurant with this gentleman, and we ate, and we talked about past girlfriends and past mistakes, and said, you know what, if God would just give me a girl and give me a shot to do it right, where I would live for God, and I could show a young lady that, hey, I want to put God first in my life. This is what I want God to direct what I'm my steps, every step I'm taking. I've never done it that way. I've made fun of people that did it that way. They're happy. I'm not. What if I just trust God in this? God, and I pray to God, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever it takes, I'm going to give it all to you. But now, remember, I was saved. I already had Christ come in my heart, but now I wanted God to do something with my life. So I walked out of that restaurant. Me and that guy parted. I haven't seen the guy since. Weird. I have not seen the guy since, because that night, got on the phone, and this girl called me and said, hey, I got a friend. I had asked this girl about, I want a girlfriend. I need you to introduce me to one of your friends. And she listed a whole host of party girls. I'm like, that's not what I'm interested in. I changed. I don't want that. She called me later on and said, hey, I've got the girl for you. I said, all right. She goes, well, let me tell you, she's sweet, and she's real nice. Now, guys, you know what that means. She's as wide as she is tall, and she's as ugly as coming out of the ugly tree, hitting every branch coming down. But you know what? This was God's plan, because I prayed about it. And I knew, because then she goes to church. I said, that's the one. She goes, but she's different. I'm like, it doesn't matter. So I got the number, and I didn't even mute my wife. I just called her on the phone and said, hey, my name's Dirk, and my name's Dirk Ollie. She was like, okay. And I said, you're a friend. He said, we were compatible. I said it just like that. She said, okay. And we talked for a few minutes. And it wasn't even 2 minutes in the conversation. At that, it was probably 2 minutes. She says, do you have tools? I said, well, yes, I do have tools. She goes, do you know how to use them? Yeah, I know how to use them. She goes, okay, you can call me back tomorrow. So, well, that was weird. But she evidently had dated some guys that had tools and didn't know how to use them. She needed a handyman. She needed a husband. I was getting tricked. No, but anyway, I met my wife the very next day. I met her that night on the phone, met her the next day. That's how God works. When you give it all to Him, look how fast He answered my prayer just within hours. I had no clue when I woke up that morning that my life was going to change. God just turned it all the way around for His glory. My wife had made the same profession. She got saved maybe 6 months before I met her, if it was that long. And she wanted the same thing. I met all of them and said, you know what? I'm not going to date you unless we go to church first. Young adults, listen to this. I wish I would have done it at 18 when I was allowed to date. We're going to put Christ first in our relationship. Now, young lady, I took a stand to stand up to this girl, the most beautiful girl in the world, and say, I'm willing to lose her, Lord. We're going to put Christ first in our relationship. I was willing to lose her at this point in time. And you know what? Deep down, man. God, deep down, that's what the lady wants. Because my wife said, that's what I want. I said, okay, we'll date. And we dated. We stayed pure. We got married after a year. And the Lord has blessed us. I can't explain, but I was seeking God first. And when I sought the kingdom of heaven, and I sought God first, He started to add these little things unto me. You know what? Me and her were both seeking. We had enough doing it our way. There's some keys, and if you take your notes, you can take these. How do you plan to seek these things out in life? Let me share it with you. Through God's Word, daily feeding. This is how God speaks to His Christians. This is how God speaks to His children. Through the Bible, I didn't understand it until I started reading it. Okay, I'm not a good reader. I'm not either. Read one verse. And God will work you up to reading a few chapters. But if you'll just read one verse, God will give you something. Well, I didn't get anything. Well, read it again. Read it the next day. Read it and pray, God, give me something. I'll be honest with you. There's days when I read, and I'm reading because I'm reading because I want to read because I'm supposed to, and I read, and I'm getting nothing. Then sometimes I read, and I listen to the radio, and the guy preaches on what I just read. And then the preacher gets up Wednesday night and preaches on what we just talked about in the car. And then Sunday, we have a guest speaker, and he preaches on the same thing. You know that? That's God talking, because you were faithful to read. So that's one way how you seek God. You seek Him through prayer. That's how we talk to God. That's how we lay on His, lay out our heart to God. Say, God, this has helped me. Thank you. Then we do it through waiting. That's the worst part of it all, is waiting. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. We don't want to do that. Psalm 47:14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So through this, the Lord started to work on us. I did anything I could. Anything the church asked me to do, I cleaned toilets. Remember the first job I did, the preacher got up and said, hey, I need a man to come out tomorrow and help me clean the bathrooms. I knew I had to stay off the next day. I cleaned the toilets. I knew how to clean toilets. I was in the military. My mom was better than the military. But I went in with a humble heart, and the preacher said, I'm going to show you how to clean the toilets. Yes, sir. But that's how you needed to do it. You might know how to do it, but the preacher might have you want to do it a different way. He taught me how to clean the toilets, and I cleaned it the way he did it, plus the way I knew how. But I cleaned it exactly the way he did. And that was my first job. But you know what that led to? He knew I was going to be faithful to clean the toilet. He knew I'd be faithful to later on clean the little snotty noses of the kids. He tricked me out too. He asked me, he said, come in, I want you to help me and my wife this Wednesday night. We need some chaperones. Okay, you got 8 kids. You need crowd control for 8 kids? Okay. You don't know what you're doing, buddy. He gets me in there and he does it. The next week he does it. Third week he comes in and he goes, look, I've got to go do something. I'll be right back. Just do the puppet show part of this thing and I'll be right back. You got it? I'm like, okay, got it. Me and my wife were in there. I do the puppet show thing. Look around. We sing a few songs. Well, he's not around. Okay, let's do the lesson. We did the lesson and, well, after church, he says, well, you know, I kind of got hung up, but you think you can do that? I was like, sure, I can do that. He goes, okay, well, you're in. So he got me that night. But that's what we really wanted. Me and my wife desire to work in the church, desire to serve. I'm a big kid. I play. I mean, I get in trouble a lot because I encourage my children to play and think of the things I did when I was a kid. And then my wife sees me letting them do things they really shouldn't do, and she's like, oh. I'm like, well, I mean, it's just one time. So I'm a big kid. So get my notes here. Why the children? Let's see. So in 2008, we visited a church my parents went to, and when I pulled up to that church down in Atlanta where I went to as a school, the buses pulled up and they started to drop the kids off. Now, as a kid, we see kids as kids. We're all the same. I didn't see any difference. I had my child eyes on, which we should really have child eyes a lot. As an adult, I saw those kids as houses they were living in. Violent. I knew better. Heart broke because I knew. Some of those kids didn't sleep all night. Some of those kids were just waiting to come to church to get away from what they had at home. I told my wife, I said, that is what it's about. We don't reach them. Who is? Complaining about the church dying. Well, if we don't reach those children, how are we going to teach them what church is? Because nobody else is. The church is going to die because they don't know and they don't care. We got home, we started research, and we found a church that had buses. We went to a good church, they just weren't going to do that. I said, well, God put a burden on my heart. And we pulled up to the church the first Sunday morning. There was a bus backing in with kids hanging out the windows. No, they weren't, but you could hear them singing. And the pastor was backing the bus up. I said, now that's something, man. We get in, he starts preaching, he gets into the sermon. He didn't know we were there because when he got out the bus, he ran into church. You know how that is in the morning. You don't know who's here and who's not at times. And we were sitting in the back over here, and he's looking at the men. He says, I need one of you men to stand up right now, get a CDL, and drive this bus. I need a bus driver so bad it hurts. Me and my wife looked at each other and said, all right, well, we know what the Lord wants. Because first we had asked, then we were seeking. We were seeking what God could do with us. Listen, we were two people we thought God could never use. Now we're teaching children. I'm driving a bus. I'm a bus captain. And we went to teaching on Wednesday nights. We sang some family specials together. So some. We did whatever was asked of us. Let me encourage you, church. When your pastor asks you to do something, do it. Don't get scared. Your pastor says, hey, I want you to lead music tonight because the music director's not here. Do it. Don't miss out on the blessing. Because if pastor's asked you to do it, the Lord's laid it on his heart for you to do. If the Lord's laid it on his heart for you to do, I don't think your pastor's going to ask you to do something that the Lord hasn't laid on his heart. Then who is it really asking you to do it? God. When your pastor asks you to do something, don't get scared and run away and say, I can't do it. Well, because you can. I messed up and did something like that years ago, and it took me 2 years for the pastor to ask me to ever do anything, and I had to go apologize for something he asked me to do that I didn't do. God could use you. You want him to be used? Do whatever the pastor asked you to do. About a year later, this young lady came. She was from California. She was going to help me on the bus. Beautiful young lady. I said, now, how is she going to help me? She's all dressed up. She gets on the bus, and she starts singing this song. The kids start singing with her. I'm like, I don't know this song. Man, probably to the kids real fast. And we got, but the more she sang, the more she interacted with those kids, I fell in love with this girl. And I realized God put her on this bus for a reason. Me and my wife fell in love with this young lady. This young lady was just talented in all ways. 17 years old, attending Bob Jones. She had to come serve at a church in order to go to a different church, and she was doing what it took. I tell you what, she taught me a lot. Well, the young man started coming to church in Bob Jones, and he started sitting on this side of the church. Well, my wife was like matchmaker. She didn't know they were already trying to be matched up. She tried to match them up. The young man was from the Bahamas. So, oh, from the Bahamas. And this man can sing, though. And it's Samantha's brother. And these two young couple fell in love. Let me share something about this young couple and get off track here. They served the Lord like I should have served the Lord at their age, 17. For juniors in college, me and my wife said, so how many dates have y'all been on? They started laughing at us. Well, what's so funny? My parents haven't given us permission yet. Now, I didn't care what my parents told me. Now, kids, I'm not saying that, young adults, because you should act like that. No, they were doing the right thing. I did the wrong thing. They were waiting on their parents to give them permission. That floored me and my wife. Our hearts melted. We just fell more in love with this young couple. We tried to mentor them, but I don't think they realized how much they mentored me and my wife. Such a young age to serve God, to know they were going to get blessings that we couldn't even reach. Blessings, and they're going to get to certain points that we weren't ever going to get to because they started at a young age. Anyway, we always told them we'd come see the wedding. A few years later, they graduated. We get an invitation. We pray about how we're going to get to this wedding in the Bahamas. We're poor. We don't have a lot of money, so what God does, he provides us a house. A house no bigger than the area where the tables are out here to eat. Not the size, just there. But we needed to stay near the local, in the area, so the family could to the wedding. We needed to stay in the local area where we found the house, and God provided that. Had we stayed in the tourist area, I would have never been to the Bahamas and saw it the way I had seen it at that time. Got out there, there's poverty, cars on the side of the road that won't ever run again, kids walking down with a jug, like a kerosene jug, to go to the local water pot, to open it up and turn it on, fill it up and take it home. The water's not really drinkable there. It's got lime in it. Some people can't afford to buy a bottle of water, so they have to do that. People selling food out of the trunk of their car to make a living. You don't go to the tourist beach to get this, you go to the local beach. But we ate it. Some people are like, yeah, well, everybody else was. It was cheap, and we could afford it. When you go anywhere else, they have a place called Paradise Island, and I think it's $70 for the buffet. And we were eating for $5 for a meat and three. Me and my wife, we could share the plate. Man, that's right up our alley. But we got to meet the local people and the need, and the kids running around. You saw some of the pictures. Two of the young men, one guy sells seashells. His name's Akeem. Another guy named Colby. The Rastafarian. Colby's left the Rastafarian religion. And the Lord has used me and my wife over the last 4 years. We've been down five times. to work on this young man. When we first went, he was lost and fallen, and now he's not. And he says, there's something different. I know, is what he says, right at the tip of my fingers, there's something good. I'm like, yes, it's Christ. You just need to accept him. He doesn't understand it yet. But I see God changing his life. We went to the wedding, and as we stayed down there and met these people, we were on the local beach. There were all the boys running off the dock. I mean, I'm a big kid. I got to show them up. Oh, you're not going to flip like me. I'm flipping off the dock. I'm getting to know these young men. They're teenage boys, anywhere from 10 to 15. And I get out there and I said, hey, guys, tomorrow's Easter. If I were to bring a van out here to pick y'all up, how many of y'all would come to church? All 14 raised their hand. I'll come. You know what? It broke my heart because I didn't have a way to get them. I didn't even know the pastor real well. I just met pastor. Didn't know him. I couldn't take the kids to church. I didn't have a vehicle. But God heard my heart, and that's when he started to work on me. Eric, what you're doing in South Carolina, what you're doing, you can do right here. Look at the souls. Look at the kids that are dying and going to hell. These kids get out on the road, and the way traffic is, they get killed all the time on the road. By the Bahamas. I didn't choose Bahamas. God chose the Bahamas, not me. If you look at Mark 16, verse 15, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, we didn't choose the area. God chose it for us. When I think of missions before this, I thought of Mexico, China, Africa. Maybe some of you think of the same thing. I never thought of the Bahamas. I never thought God would send me here to do mission work. I never thought of souls other than in Greenville, South Carolina, souls dying, burning, going to hell. I never thought of that. And it started to work on me. In the past 4 years, we've been 5 times. And each time our God uses us a special way and starts to work on us. Show us something different. Show us where we can help the church. I'm an electrician, do heating and air. So when we go down there, I'm not just going to be going out doing the goals that we set. We set out to be there in 2019 of August. We want to start a bus ministry, youth program, local outreach, take the gospel to the local schools, eventually start assisting in church planning. While I'm doing that, I can help the church. I'm a worker. I'm not just going to be lazy, guys. I work with my hands. My hands are rough. I'm an electrician. I'm going to be doing the electrical work at the church that they need. Heat and air if I can do it. Plumbing, whatever I can do. Whatever the pastor asked me to do. Clean the toilet. I think I cleaned toilets with your dad, Samantha, this past year at one of the revivals. That was interesting. Why the children? Because God says, low children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit, the womb, is his reward. It doesn't say the fruit of your wife's womb. It says the fruit of the womb is his reward. It means all children are our reward. In that reward, it's our responsibility to take these children and lead them to Christ. Through the bus ministry, I've seen it work. For a child to go home and tell their parents. They'll go home singing a song. They'll tell their parents what they learned. The child will get saved. The child will go home and get the parents interested in church. The parents come to see what's going on, and eventually the parents get saved. That's how the bus ministry is going to be used down there. By the children, we said they're heritage of the Lord. I strongly believe that the next great somebody is one of these children down there. The Lord has given me and my wife the responsibility and the opportunity to go down there and knock on the door and find that child. I strongly believe that one of those children could change that nation down there. I also strongly believe, wouldn't it be neat if one of those children that me and my wife went to their house and knocked on the door, that child grew up to serve the Lord and came to this nation and changed this nation around. God spoke to your heart tonight. Are you thinking, why shouldn't I go to the Bahamas? Are you cleaning toilets yet? Are you doing the small things for Christ? You can't do big things until you do small things, and I didn't realize that. Back it up. You're giving it all to Christ. You say, God, I want you to do whatever you want to with my life. God wants you to use you. He doesn't just want to use me and my family. He wants you to take you right through these back doors and out into the great mission field, which is right out here. He wants to use you to even take it even back further. But I can't be used because I haven't asked Christ in my heart. Tonight would be a good night to do it. Someone's getting baptized tonight because they said that Christ is their Savior. Their eternity is heaven. They know where they're going. We had a dear friend pass away the other night. It's Shirley Hughes. I know where she is, and I know where I'm going. So ask yourself those questions. Why not me? Well, have you given your life to Christ? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? We're going out here. We're going for the Lord. We're doing it in His will. We're asking and we're doing it in His direction. And we're following His call, Pastor.
Thanks for being here. Bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. I'm going to have Stephanie, if you can, I'll go ahead and start getting ready. You can. I appreciate a family that's willing to leave everything. Everybody's not willing to do that, but to leave everything here to go there. Now, somebody say, well, it's the Bahamas. I mean, it's a tourist place. It can't be that difficult. Well, see, remember what he said. We only see what they show us in the tourist section. There are so many places that are beautiful in one spot, but then when you get inside in the interior, you find out how bad it is and how wicked it is. And so I appreciate them being willing, to go later in life. But, hey, thank God for that. He's got a real deal for that job and for those souls, and I appreciate that. So we're going to stand. Let's stand, please. And what page, Brother Tim? 161 in your hymn book. You feel the need to come and pray if something he said spoke to your heart. Maybe you just want to surrender your life to full-time Christian work. That'd be all right. God needs workers in the field, for sure. We're going to sing two verses. You come, and then when we're through, if no one comes, then we'll baptize. Why don't you come while we sing a couple of verses?